What transforms a juvenile delinquent into an Olympic athlete, then a war hero, and finally a beacon of forgiveness? Louis Zamperini's journey began in the most unlikely place, stealing from neighborhood kitchens and rigging payphones in 1920s California. Born to Italian immigrants, young Louis was everything his brother Pete wasn't: unruly, defiant, constantly in trouble. He'd sell stolen scrap metal back to its original owners, rob bakeries, and always end up running like mad from his victims. His father's spankings did nothing. Teachers despaired. The town whispered comparisons to his responsible older brother. But Pete saw something others missed. That same speed that helped Louis escape consequences could become his salvation. After Louis was banned from school activities for lockpicking, Pete convinced the principal to let his brother join the track team. What followed wasn't instant transformation, but grueling work. Pete riding behind on a bicycle, whacking Louis with a stick when he slowed. Yet something shifted. Running became more than escape. It became freedom. By 1934, Louis shattered the national high school mile record, earning the nickname Torrance Tornado. At 19, he qualified for the 1936 Berlin Olympics, where his final lap sprint was so spectacular that Hitler himself took notice. By early 1940, Louis was running miles in 4:07.9, within striking distance of the world record. Then Hitler's blitzkrieg swept across Europe, and the Olympics vanished. Without that singular purpose, Louis drifted into the Army Air Corps as a bombardier. After Pearl Harbor, he was assigned to the B-24 Liberator, a bomber so unstable, crews called it the Flying Coffin. Pilots developed lopsided muscles wrestling the controls. Tails dropped off mid-flight, wings snapped under stress. During training alone, the Army Air Forces lost 14,903 personnel to accidents. By April 1943, Louis' crew faced their first combat mission, a raid on Nauru. Planes on both wings were shot down. Their bomber took 594 holes, and Harry Brooks died just before his 23rd birthday. On May 27, 1943, the Green Hornet's engines failed. Louis was pulled underwater, trapped under the gun mount, passing out from oxygen deprivation. He surfaced to find pilot Phil Phillips and tail gunner Francis McNamara clinging to debris. Their supplies? Chocolate bars, water tins, fishing hooks, no tarpaulin, first aid kit, or radio. That first night, Mac panicked and devoured all their chocolate. Days became weeks. Lips ballooned, skin cracked, salt sores festered. They caught an albatross and fashioned rain collectors from canvas. To maintain sanity, Louis and Phil transformed their raft into a quiz show, sharing memories and describing Louis's mother's cooking in torturous detail. Mac remained silent, hopeless. After 2 weeks, their bodies were skeletal. On day 33, Mac died. Louis and Phil drifted 14 more days until Japanese sailors captured them. At Kwajalein's Execution Island, guards tortured captives with stones and lit cigarettes. After 42 days, Louis and Phil reached Ofuna, a secret interrogation center where high-value prisoners were starved and beaten. No one knew they were alive. Then came Omori P.O. Camp and Corporal Mutsuhiro Watanabe, the Bird. Born wealthy and educated at Waseda University, Watanabe had been rejected for officer rank, a humiliation that warped him. His terror came from unpredictability. He'd beat prisoners savagely, then weep and apologize, only to explode again. From their first encounter, he fixated on Louis, an officer, an Olympian, defiant. He hunted Louis relentlessly, beating him daily in what one PO called his death lunge. As Allied bombing intensified, the Bird's paranoia escalated. He forced POs to stand exposed during air raids and conducted midnight fire drills in freezing rain. Louis began dreaming of strangling his tormentor. The war became personal, no longer about nations, but one man's will to break another. On August 20, 1945, the camp commander announced the war's end. As an American torpedo bomber appeared overhead, prisoners stampeded back to camp, tearing down fences. The bird had fled. 3 days later, B-29s dropped supplies, boxes breaking open and spilling pink peaches across rice paddies. That night, men lay wrapped in American parachutes, experiencing the strange sensation of being too full. When Louis reached home on October 5, he ran to his sobbing mother, whispering, "Cara mamma mia." He seemed fine until his sister played a recording of his propaganda broadcast. He screamed uncontrollably. That night, the bird followed him into his dreams. Thrust into unwanted celebrity, Louis gave 95 speeches in his first weeks home. But beneath his grin, something troubled rustled just behind his eyes. He began drinking, first whiskey and morning coffee, then carrying a flask everywhere. In March 1946, he impulsively married Cynthia Applewhite. His nightmares intensified, the bird towering over him nightly. A catastrophic ankle injury ended his Olympic dreams forever.
By September 1949, Louis was spiraling into alcoholism while Cynthia planned divorce. Then Billy Graham's revival came to Los Angeles. Initially resistant, Louis finally attended after Cynthia's urging. During Graham's sermon about God's presence in suffering, Louis remembered his raft promise, "If you will save me, I will serve you forever." He tried to flee, but turned back, experiencing his final flashback of the bird and the beginning of transformation. He poured out his liquor and discarded his cigarettes. For the first time in 5 years, the bird didn't invade his dreams. In 1950, Louis returned to Japan, not for revenge, but to test his newfound peace. At Sagamo Prison, he faced 850 former guards. The bird was absent, reportedly having committed suicide while hiding. Louis felt unexpected compassion rather than hatred. Forgiveness came beautiful and effortless and complete. When his former tormentors approached hesitantly, Louis bounded down the aisle with extended hands and a radiant smile. In 1954, he established Victory Boys Camp for troubled youth. In 1996, shocking news arrived. The bird is alive. Watanabe had been hiding, then built a successful insurance business. Though initially agreeing to meet, Watanabe ultimately refused. Louis wrote him a letter of forgiveness anyway. Watanabe died in 2003, never responding.
On January 22, 1998, just days before his 81st birthday, Louis Zamperini returned to Nawetsu, the place that had once been his prison. With snow falling gently, he carried the Olympic torch through the town, his weathered body still strong, the scar from the Green Hornet crash still visible on his hand. He was surrounded by smiling Japanese faces, children, former mill workers, 120 Japanese soldiers formed in columns to let him pass. The cages were long gone, so was the bird. There remained only the voices, the falling snow, and the old and joyful man running. Louis lived until 97, skateboarding in his 80s, climbing trees with chainsaws at 90. He once remarked that he hadn't been angry in 40 years. His story asks us, what would we do with our 47 days adrift? What birds haunt our dreams? Can we find the courage to run not away from our pain, but through it, toward forgiveness, toward purpose, toward light? Redemption isn't about erasing what broke us. It's about discovering that the very act of running can transform everything.